Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, where I am your host, Via Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. I'm very excited to be here on this first Monday of the year, 2022. Can you believe it's been a year? Praise God. And that we are all blessed to be part of it. Unfortunately, we're still dealing with some of the things that we dealt with in 2021, but because God is sovereign and God is on the throne, We are above all that. Why? Because we have Jesus. So praise God. Before we get into our lesson, I want to make sure that I always, always, always acknowledge our first-time listeners. So if this is your very first time to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, we strive to encourage, to educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And we pray that there be something in the lesson that you will find that will be encouraging for you. And then praise God, it may not be something brand new, but it may be something that God will lay on your heart to get further study, to get further information, so that you'll be able to understand exactly what he's meaning and why it piqued interest for you. And then you can study and learn more about the topic. And then praise God, once you make those necessary changes, then we pray that God will bless you to be empowered, not only just empowered to change yourself, but to help someone else, to share with someone else. So again, welcome, welcome, welcome if this is your very first time. Praise God for those of you that have been with me for the past 8, going on 9 years. Amen. Can you believe that? We're going into the 9th year of the broadcast, and so I'm so glad that you've been here with me, that this is the vein that God blessed me to be in, to be able to share the gospel, and that you've been here with me. You've been here to pray with me, encourage me, to empower me, and to even give me topics to seek God and get information. So I'm learning and being educated by you too, and so I'm thankful, 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 and I will always, always acknowledge you, so thank you. For those of you that don't know, praise God, Jesse and Tammy Still, I will always call their names out, because praise God, without them, I wouldn't even know that this was a platform for me. And so because, praise God, they put me on this system and said, go. And then, praise God, they keep making sure that I'm encouraged, keep making sure that I'm empowered. But more importantly, I love that they are true examples and showing me how to be true to the call and true to the assignment that God has given. And so I will always acknowledge them in the Mega Ministry group. Now, before we go into our lesson, we always start with an upbeat song to make sure that we're in the mood, because when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And then, praise God, I acknowledge each of you for tuning in, because you could be somewhere else, but I'm grateful that you decided to tune in here. So praise God for that. Then we go to God with our opening prayer before we go to our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you for waking us up this morning and allowing us to see a new year. We thank you, Father, for this to be the first Monday of the year, and that we thank you, Father, that we know you and that we're here because of you. And so we pray, Father, that all the things that we may have accomplished or didn't get to accomplish on today, Father, that you will see fit to give us an opportunity, as long as it's according to your plan and purpose, for us to complete it. We believe and trust that you'll allow us to get it done. Why? Because you gave us all these resources to help us get the things that you have called for all of us to do. You've given each of us an assignment. You've given each of us a task. And you gave us gifts and talents to be able to accomplish these things. And so we just thank you, Father, for each day that you give us, and that you use the word, the Bible, to give us instruction that leads us, that motivates us, that calms us and tells us what we should do and what we shouldn't do, and where we should go, where we shouldn't go, how we should live and how we shouldn't live. And so we thank you for the roadmap. We also thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit, because when we don't quite understand the word, the Holy Spirit gives us what we need so that we can have a better understanding. And most importantly, Father, we thank you for Jesus and the sacrifice that he made on our behalf, so that we can have a relationship with you, that we can stand boldly in the face of danger and trials and tribulations and count it all joy because of the blood of Jesus that covers us and keeps us sound in your word, in your will, and in your way. And so, Father, we just ask in this hour that you will bless my voice, you will bless my heart, that you will bless the intent and the passion to be guided and directed to whoever may be listening, whether it's tonight, whether it's next week or 2 years from now when they're listening to the broadcast, Father, that they will get the same rhema word that those that are listening on tonight will receive. And Father, if it is on someone's heart tonight to actually have a comment or a question, allow them to not be distracted and be moved by fear, but they will press that little one button to let me know that they're in the queue and ask the question that they may have or share whatever God has laid on their heart. So, Father, again, we thank you, we love you, we honor, we adore you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so I'm so excited because this is the first Monday of the year, praise God, moving into my ninth year on the broadcast. And so each year when we do the first broadcast and, you know, just people in general, we tend to find ourselves revolving around resolutions. And for those of you that have been with me for the past couple of years or several years for that matter, I don't necessarily tend to do resolutions because I believe if God lays something on our hearts for us to change and being empowered to change, you make the necessary change then. And so praise God, there are times that, you know, you can get better deals or they have more focus on change at the beginning of the year. But many times, many of us fail to take advantage. We jump on the bandwagon, but we don't stay or we don't stick to the goals that we set. So my goal and my, I believe what God will have for all of us tonight to understand is that we have to be sincere in that we need to change because they came from him. And so many times I've made many goals to make the necessary changes, but they weren't necessarily instructed by God to make those necessary changes. And so when I step out on my own and step out in my flesh, most times I'm going to get distracted. I'm going to be frustrated. Or it's just not going to go the way that I desire because it's me. And so we know that the word tells us that not to lean to our own understanding, but to acknowledge him in all of our ways. And when we do that, then he will give us the necessary path. He will give us the necessary resources to make it come to pass because he said his word will never return to him void. So if God says it, you better believe it's going to happen. And that's why I love that song. And I get so motivated. I can hear it 100 times and I would still be just as motivated because when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And then we have to remember when he says no, nobody can say yes either. Amen. But praise God, we want to make sure that we are always following the things of God. And so for this year, if you want to just say that, you know, the new year, I'm going to do something different, allow it to be that we're listening and being more in tune to God. And so I thought that I was going to do a different topic, and God was like, no, this is where we're going. And so praise God, I'm grateful that I hear him and I can follow him. And so just to kind of piggyback on what we talked about last week, it's up to you. It's up to you to do the things that God has called you to do because he gave us free will. And that free will gives us the opportunity to choose whether we're going to be obedient or be disobedient. We're going to live like him or we're going to live like the world. And then we talked about why it's important for us to understand the voices that are going on in our head because, praise God, because we have this free will, we have all these voices. Do I follow my advice? Do I follow God's advice? Do I follow mama's advice, daddy's advice, grandmama, grandpapa, sister, brother, cousin? Do I do the community? Do I do my church? Whose voice am I following? And the key is that we need to follow God's voice. In his voice alone. And so, praise God, I still love the fact that God gives us choice, but I also am a little, Lord, if you just laid it out and made it easy, it'd be so easy to follow. But when you have all these voices in your head, sometimes it's hard to decide which voice is the voice that you really need to be listening to. And so I know for me, years ago, I had a problem because I couldn't discern which voice I was listening to. I knew what I wanted to do, and I knew that because I was giving my life to Christ that I was supposed to follow him, but many times he spoke so softly, I didn't quite understand, Lord, is this you? And I would find myself asking, and the more I asked, the louder the enemy got, because of course he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want you to be obedient. He doesn't want you to do the things that God has required us to do. Why? Because he knows the promise. He knows that God's blessings are on the other end of our obedience. And so it is important that we learn how to listen to God. And so today's lesson is kind of gearing towards listening and then the communication that's going on. And so I was talking to an old friend this week, and she was talking about how, you know, we got to get, you know, our minds right, because if we don't have our minds right, then we can't do it. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. And so I know that I often have a dialogue with myself. And so praise God, God helped me label this mental dialogue, because we do have these mental dialogues and we talk to ourselves often. And so sometimes we don't know how to turn those spigots off. They just constantly run. I know mine does. And sometimes it keeps me from sleeping and it keeps me from resting. And so I know many times that that can be the enemy trying to distract me from healing, because, you know, when we rest, we heal. And so the enemy, again, to kill, steal, and destroy, it is his job to distract us and to do the things that that will prevent us from doing the things that God has promised. Now, tonight we're going to do quite a few scriptures. We won't have a particular one that we base on. However, I love this one because, of course, you know, I love wisdom, and God says it's a principal thing. Proverbs 1:5 says, "A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel." A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that I shared something that my nephew, when he was on the broadcast almost a year ago, said that when you're ready to be a student, God will send the teacher. And so it is so often that we don't understand what's going on. And it's, praise God, we just don't know sometimes, and why it's important for us to go to God. And sometimes when we're praying and we're seeking out things of God, we don't take the time to stop to listen. We have an idea of what we want. And sometimes God is cool enough to show us the end before the beginning. That's where I mess up. Because then now I'm trying to navigate to make it happen the way that he showed it to me, when he didn't say today. He said it was going to happen this way, but I have to be patient. And so I'm so glad that God has given me wise counsel, people to be in my corner to help me. Leah, you're everywhere. You're overwhelmed. You need to slow down. And I'm like, no, I'm resting. You know, I'm healing, so I have to rest. But if my mind is still going, I need to do this. I'm trying to finish my book. I'm trying to do ministry. I'm trying to teach my child and want a job. Amen. And he's like, you need to slow down and really seek what God is having you to do in this moment. And maybe because you want the end to come to fruition now, maybe that's not God's timing. You got to learn how to be patient. And so when I was reading over the scriptures, and when God brought it to me, because I do have quite a bit of dialogue going on in my head. Should I do this now? Should I do this? And so I find myself writing more now. But even in my writing, if I'm not writing the things that God says, the enemy, remember, he's coming to distract, to keep me off focus and to keep you off focus. And so today's lesson, we're going to talk a little bit about why it's important for us to manage that mental dialogue. I remember we were in a meeting when I was an administrator with the school, and one of the ladies said, she said, I had a meeting with myself. And when I met with myself, and we all cracked up and thought that was the funniest thing, because she had a meeting with herself. But sometimes you have to have a meeting with yourself, and you have to tell yourself, all these words and all these things that are clouding my judgment, I'm going to have to cast you down, because God said that anything that tries to elevate itself above the knowledge of God, I have to cast it down. And many times we don't cast those things down. We ponder them. And when we ponder them, they become challenges, if you will, and barriers and strongholds, footholds and strongholds, and then strong men, strong towers, condominiums, that it's hard for us to break down. And so it's important for us to capture those words when they're spoken, especially when they're not right, and to bring them under subjection so that we can question, Lord, is this you for real? Because if it's not you, I can't let nothing elevate above you. And so when we talk about words, I love definitions. Words have power. The Bible says that, what we speak, amen, we can bring to fruition. So we got to be mindful of the things that we speak. And so sometimes our words can be so profound that it actually comes to pass. And so when it comes to pass, and you know that it comes to pass, you better believe that works from the positive angle as well as the negative angle. So when we use powerful words, they can be beautiful. They can heal. They can uplift. They can help us change our situations. And many times it'll change the mood of other people because of the words that we're saying. And then, of course, if we're saying the words that God called us to say, then, you know, the Holy Spirit, amen. You know, the Bible says we're two or three together. It's powerful. But it works the same way, unfortunately, when we speak a lot of negative words, especially when they're spoken out of anger. They can be damaging. They can be hurtful. My aunt always says, when you throw it out there, you can't bring it back. And so sometimes we double pedal, but it doesn't make up because you've already stated, you've already cut. And so the best thing, of course, is to always repent when you say things that are incorrect. And then be open. Because I know a lot of times we say things and we don't think that they sound bad, because I don't think they're bad, but it may be bad for the other person. So we always got to be open, and we always got to make sure that we're not doing anything from a selfish perspective, because when we do, praise God, we don't know the outcome or the backlash that comes from that. And so we always want to make sure that we're actively listening to the things of God. And when we do, then we'll say what needs to be said when it needs to be said, and we'll be quiet when God calls for us to be quiet. But tonight I really want to focus on listening and why listening is so important, not necessarily listening to other people, but listening to the voice of God. And so when we talk about listening, the definition says that listening is the ability to accurately receive and interpret messages in the communication process. Listening is key to all effective communication, because without the ability to listen effectively, messages are easily misunderstood. If there is one communication skill that we all should aim to master, it is listening. And I love that we said that is one that we all should aim to master, because all of us can talk and all of us like to talk. And I know I love to talk, because praise God, I'm always love to talk. I'm usually out of time, praise God, but I'm never out of talk, especially when we're talking about the things of God and the things that I'm passionate about. It just so happens that I'm passionate about the things of God. And so I like that Luke 10 and 16 says, whoever listens to you listens to me. Now, praise God, that means it's you and him. Amen. Okay. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me, him who sent me. So now, this is Jesus speaking. So now we got to make sure that we understand that a couple of weeks ago we were talking about, you know, am I like Jesus? Well, no, because we're not Jesus. But are we striving to live the life that he led? Absolutely. Why? Because it's important. Because in that way, we try to live as close to being perfect as we possibly can. Our flesh is weak. And that's why it's so important for us to understand about this mental dialogue. There are times that we talk to ourselves and we say things that are not necessarily the things that God would have us to say. And just to give you some examples, for me, and like I said, I can only speak for me, so you plug your own in for the things that God is trying to get you to see that you're saying this incorrectly about yourself. But there was a time that it was like, Lord, how can I minister as heavy as I am? Because I'm always self-conscious about, is my shirt, this is when I was in the classroom, of course, you know, is my shirt tucked up in one of the rows? And, you know, I had all these thoughts going through my mind. While I'm teaching, mind you, you know, they're not listening, they're not paying attention, you're not speaking correctly, oh, your eye is twitching, oh, yeah, because I had the little tumors behind my eyes, and sometimes they kind of wonder when they want to. And so, you know, all these self things that I'm talking to myself while I'm ministering, how do you do that? Well, praise God, it happens. Why? Because we have not learned how to cast those words down when they come. And then when they do, we have to replace them with something. But we'll talk about that in a second. But it is very important that we understand how we are communicating to ourselves. And many times, I learned this saying, and I kind of made it my own, but what you talk about, you bring about, because remember, we give life to the words that we speak. And so if I say, you know, I'm never going to get this, I'm never going to understand, well, that's exactly what you're going to get. You're never going to understand. You're never going to accomplish. I'll never have any money. I'll never have a good job. I'll never find a man. I'll never find a girlfriend. You know, I'm too short. I'm too tall. I'm too this. I'm too that. Those are not the things that God says. You have to replace those words with the things that God said. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And so, praise God, I stopped calling myself fat and chunky. I'm beautiful. I've just got a lot of beauty to go with me. Amen. But praise God, I still know that I could lose a couple pounds, but it's not going to prevent me from sharing the gospel or doing the things that God calls me to do, like it was trying to before, because the enemy was taunting me and telling me nobody's paying attention, because they're going to believe you can't control your flesh. I mean, the enemy will use whatever tactic he can to shut you up and shut you down. So what do you have to do? That's why the word is so important. You have to go into the word. Now, in the beginning, the very beginning of the broadcast, I don't know if many of you remember this, I used to wait in the beginning of the broadcast. I'm like, wait, I'm going to wait. I'm going to give you a couple minutes to go get you a piece of paper and a pencil. I'm going to wait. And I'd wait a couple minutes. Sometimes I would play a song. So you would go, because I really believe in my heart, writing and journaling is so important. Because like I said, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And unfortunately, the enemy messes with our minds. Mostly, he drops those words of doubt. He drops those words to distract. And so when God gives you a rhema word from on high, don't you want to write it down so you'll remember? Because I know, I remember, look, I've been married 30 years, 30-something years ago when the minister was doing, you know, the repeat. I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember. And so even my kids, I can't get their names together half the time. So if God gives me a rhema word, I want in my heart, my flesh, as my aunt would always say, you know, the flesh is weak, but the heart, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. My flesh is weak when it comes to really remembering. And usually when God gives it to me, it's late at night or it's early in the morning and I'm in the bed. And so I have to keep a notepad and a pen or a pencil or a crayon. A couple of times I've written on the wall just because I don't want to lose what God says. And then sometimes, you know, the enemy will, you know, pull on you. Oh, you know, you're tired. You don't need to get up and get no paper. You'll remember. You'll remember. Remember, you spirit led. You don't remember. You'll remember. You know, just remember one word and God will bring the rest to you. Mental dialogue. We have to shut that down. If God gives you a rhema word, get up. A girlfriend sent me a little TikTok, and the little girl, oh, I shouldn't call her a little girl, but she's younger than me, but praise God, she's doing her thing, and I'm so impressed that I ended up watching almost 30 of her things, her little posts. I believe her name is Ariel Fitzgerald, and she does the coolest animations of how she's God in one scene, and then she's herself in another scene, and then she's whatever thing that God is telling her. And so one, she was laying down, and she had a book in front of her, and that's what I remember. She had a book in front of her and a pen, and she kind of hit her head down, and she said, you know, her little inner dialogue was like, you know what God says, you know, you better get up and write. And she said, but I'm so tired. And then it shows God looking like mean mugging. And then she said, all right, Lord, I'm sorry. Sometimes we have to make sure that we understand that God may not be mean mugging, but he is sincere and intent when he gives us something that he wants us to remember and to do it. And so if you know that your flesh is weak and that your memory is not as befitting, praise God. You can pray to ask God to strengthen your memory. But nevertheless, the best thing that God allowed somebody to create was a pen and a piece of paper. You write it down. And so then you find a scripture to go along with whatever he's told you. And then, praise God, you meditate on that. Wouldn't that be wonderful? My girlfriend told me, she said, Lee, you watch too much TV. And so you are not doing the things that God has called you to do in order because you watch too much TV. And I had to really think about that. Yeah, I want, because I love movies and I love watching TV. But could I be using that time to do what God has really called me to do, to finish the book I'm supposed to be writing, to do the lesson plan that I'm supposed to be doing, to do these classes? What, all the things that God has told me to do, have I completed them? Has God told you to do something and you haven't completed it because in your mind, I'm going to get it done, but you have no action, no plan, no nothing that's helping you stay focused. I like that the scripture, I guess we could call this our main scripture, Proverbs 1:5, it says a wise man will hear and increase in learning. What does that mean? That means you got to do something. That's why on the regular jobs, the example is there. You don't start a job without training. It may not be the best training, but they give you a handbook. They give you something for you to learn so that you can increase your understanding of the job that you have to do. And then for some people, they have to do continuing hours, that they have to do certain things to increase their learning on the job. But it's the same thing in our spiritual employment. You know, many people don't look at it that way, but it is our spiritual employment because we first came for God, not for IBM and 3M and all these other companies, Target and all the places that we may possibly work. Yes, we're able to use our gifts and talents there, but our first assignment is to God and the assignment that he gave. And so if we're not putting ourselves in an environment to increase in learning, then praise God, how do we know when wise counsel comes? Because the second part of the scripture says, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. What does wise counsel mean? It doesn't mean that you go to Bebe and Shaquita Now, maybe they do have some wisdom and understanding, and praise God, I apologize if I'm knocking that because, amen. But whoever God sends you for wise counsel, how will you know if you're not studying to show yourself approved so you can rightly divide God's word? You can. You can. I like Luke 16, 10 and 16 that we read a little 2 minutes ago. Whoever listens to you listens to me. So if I'm studying to show myself approved and doing what God has called me to do, when I do in turn share the gospel, and not even just on the broadcast, but just in general conversation, people will tend to listen to you because they seek you as wise counsel. Now, praise God. If you don't have wise counsel, then I suggest that you go to God and go to John, my other favorite chapter, where it talks about John 15, 5, of course, I'll say in a minute. But John 15, 7 says that if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be granted. So, Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, I need these voices to stop. I need to be able to pick which one is yours. I remember years ago, I was so into people pleasing, and I was doing this for these people, doing this for these people. And I was so confused when I went to a prayer breakfast, and the lady said, okay, which mass represents you? And I had to be honest. I was like, all of them. When she said, no, you pick one. And I was like, I'd have to pick all of them because I'm this person for this people. I'm this one for this one. And I was like, I'm confused. I don't even know which one is my face. I've worn so many faces, and I've listened to so many people, and I've been so much bondage and this chaotic within myself because I didn't know which voice to listen to. So I had to go away by myself and get quiet and then ask God to show me what is causing me to be this way. And when he showed me, praise God, I could repent, and then I had a clean slate for God to feel what he wanted. And that's when God showed me that I had to love me for me. I couldn't love me for other people. I couldn't love me based on what other people's standards had for me. I couldn't love other people based on their expectations and their standards. I had to do what God said, and God said, period. And so if we listen to him, if we listen to the voices coming to the words of Jesus, then praise God, we'll be more like him. We aim to be like him. Amen. Wouldn't it be cool to really walk in the power and authority that God has really given us, and all that comes from really thinking and meditating and confessing the right word? I was disappointed when I was looking for the definition of confession because everything was, centered around sin and confessing fault and confessing it. But there are two definitions to confession, but I'm going to read the one that it says. Confession is a statement made by a person or a group of persons acknowledging some personal fact that the person would overtly believe or tend to keep hidden. Not necessarily, because some confessions are that way, but there are confessions that we use with our mouths because we want to make sure that we're confessing the things of God. Because when I confess that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and I do that enough, praise God, you better believe I'm going to believe that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Why? Because his word says that I'm made in his image. If I say that enough, it wouldn't matter if 10 people said I was ugly. Isn't that funny how we can put on our best and go out and make, girl, you sharp, you sugar sharp. And then one person said, I don't know why you fit that outfit. That outfit don't look good on you. And you'll remember that and cancel all the other thousands of compliments that you've gotten for the day. You'll hang on that one and you'll put that outfit in the closet and won't wear it again because of one person. Why do we do that? We have to understand that we are choosing to do that. God didn't say that. God said that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that you're made in his image, that you're kings and grumble with priests. Are you kidding me? And so we walk around with our heads down and we mope and we don't think that we can accomplish things when his word clearly says, I can do all things through him that gives me strength. We say these words, these are confessions we're speaking. And if we speak, I know I've done this several times, but I'll do it again just in case somebody doesn't has never done it before. If you say your ABCs in your head, just start saying your ABCs, and then in the middle I say your name. Well, what's going to happen? If you're saying your ABCs in your head, you're going to have to, why is that significant? That is significant because when the enemy is throwing or those voices, you don't even know. It could be your voice too, praise God, because our flesh can go us, have us go and say, we don't want to blame the devil for everything. But praise God, the things that are not of God, when those things are at you, you know, you should, you know, step out, you should do these things, you should fight, you can smoke, drink, whatever it is that God is telling you not to do and the voice is telling you to do, amen, it is in those moments that you have to stop and you have to replace that stuff with something else. And so my suggestion is, telling you to get your paper and your pencil, is to go to the Google, or as a good friend of mine once told me, that library that we keep in our pockets or wherever you keep your phone is a library. And all you do is go to Google or go to whatever search engine you want to, and then put what are the things you're struggling with. Are you struggling with self-esteem? Are you struggling with overspending? Are you struggling with not being balanced? Are you struggling with feeling ugly? I mean, whatever your situation is, Google scriptures. And every time those thoughts come to mind, and praise God, sometimes those voices will be loud. And maybe they may not be in your head. Maybe somebody will say something that's contrary to the things of God. That's the time that you find your scripture and you'll say, no, ma'am, Jesus said this about me. Jesus said that, you know, that I could be the head and not the tail. So you're not going to make me the tail in this situation. I'm about to be the head. Well, how do I be the head? Well, I got to listen to God. First and foremost, you got to do my favorite scripture. I told y'all, go get back to it. John 15:5. You have to recognize he is divine and that we're just branches. As long as we allow him to reign in our lives and we stay connected to him, praise God, we will have fruit that will remain. And what is that fruit? Does that mean apples and oranges? No, that's blessings. That's things that God has given us to allow us to be able to survive and to be able to do the things that we're called to do. And those things will remain. I have a girlfriend that told me, she's like, Leah, you know, when people still use yourself, you know, all these other people are like, Leah, you need to copyright yourself. For what? I minister the word, and the word don't have a copyright on it. Amen. And so he gave it to us for us to share and to use. And so whatever he gave me, amen. If somebody wants to use it and somebody else's life is affected by it, by all means, because I know my God is a generational God. And he's, amen, are you kidding me? If they could use it, go for it. But praise God, I'm going to get credit for it too. Amen. Because you took it, you was empowered, you were educated, and you obviously was encouraged by it. So I did my assignment. We can get so caught up with what's mine and what's yours. But that's, again, that mental dialogue to make you think you own. We don't own the word. This is God's word. But we use it so that we can draw all people to him. And so when people use, I'm like, praise God. I see it from a different view. These are fruits that are being remained because I chose, not free will, I chose to follow God. I chose to allow him to give me whatever he needed for me to use at that particular time. And if that person wants to use it again to bless other people, by all means, go for it. Praise God. Because if I need it again, you better believe God's going to show me a different way to switch it up so it'll be mine again if I just have to say it's mine. We got to stop allowing the enemy to make us think and be twisted into making us think that we own or we have or we control and have all these expectations that are not necessarily necessary. When we want to understand that we have to have a self image that is going to glorify God and represent God, then we have to have positive mindsets and we have to talk to ourselves. My daughter talks to herself often and it scares me sometimes because she answers herself and she laughs. And so it bothered me for a long time. I'm like, why are you doing that? And she's like, well, because I'm bored. I'm like, but why are you talking to yourself and answering yourself? I said, they said you ain't supposed to answer yourself because if you answer yourself, that means you're crazy. And she said, but I'm not crazy. I'm just enjoying myself. I had to think about that. Where did I get that from? Again, see how we pass on stuff to people and we don't even know what we're saying. We just say it because it sounds good to sound. Well, baby, just as long as you saying the things that are encouraging, amen, carry on. But I still try to make sure that I listen and make sure that she don't go straight. But praise God, she's doing self-talk to encourage herself. I can do this. This is not hard. I'm going to get this level. She's empowering herself. And who am I to tell her not to do that? Amen. I need to be doing the same thing. I can get this book done. I'm going to write 15 pages today. Yes, you can. So now, does that mean I'm crazy because I answer? Absolutely not, as long as I'm doing things that God has called me to do. So If you want to understand how to have positive self-talk, I have a couple of tips for you. Now, this came from some article I read, and so, of course, I take it and change it up. But nevertheless, you have the power to change your mind. That's the coolest thing. Remember, we talked about that last week. We have free will. If you want to change, change. As Dr. Bowers said, change isn't change until you change. You have to make the change. I can tell you all day long, that don't sound, you know, godly. You know, I think God would like for you to use these kind of words versus these kind of words. But me telling you doesn't make the change. You have to want to change, and you have to want to make the changes that God would have for you. Not what I'm saying, what God would have for you. So you first and foremost have to understand, I have the power to change. So when the enemy tells you, no, you don't. You've been like this. Your mama's like this. Your daddy's like this. Your whole family lies. You have the power to make change. And then, praise God, God has given you permission to make the change. And then, praise God, you have to be so proud of yourself for making any step towards change. I think sometimes we beat ourselves up. Oh, I made a mistake. I didn't finish. And then I can never do this again. Yeah, and then that forms into negative talk that we'll talk about in a second. But praise God, we want to make sure that we're constantly reminding ourselves, you know, Leah, you did a good job today. You exercised today. You lost 10 pounds. You even lost 3 more pounds. Now, that's real. I lost 3 more pounds. Go figure. Amen. But praise God, I can encourage myself because I'm doing it now God's way. What do I need to do, Lord? You show me. You fix it because I don't know. I don't have the motivation. My flesh is weak, for real, for real. My flesh is weak. And so God fixed it through the cancer treatment center. And he's like, well, you know, you'd feel a whole lot better and your blood pressure would be controlled if you did water aerobics. And so we're going to sign you up for some. I'm like, you going to sign me up for that? I'm like, no, God signed me up for classes. Thank you, Lord. And you're paying for them, too. See, like I said, if you're ready to be a student, God will send a teacher. Amen. So you got to make sure you encourage yourself, praise God. And you got to love yourself. I think sometimes we forget that we have to love ourselves. We're so busy loving people and sharing love and showing love, but we forget to show ourselves love. We have to love ourselves. I think when I was doing preschool, I made this song up about, based on the scripture that we love because he first loved me. We love because he, and whatever you need to do to get that into you to love yourself, and that self-thought, self-talk, all of it, praise God. And then eventually I will love, start to love myself, amen. And then, praise God, even in the midst of that, we have to remember that the enemy's going to show his head. And so we can't be afraid of change. And sometimes I think we're afraid of what people will say or what people will think or what people will do because I did this or because I did that. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Then that love goes again. If we love ourselves and we love God and we love the changes that necessary, that need to be made, then praise God. One of the things that I had intended to do years ago when I was, and I still plan to write my book. So if I see the name, amen, I know you got it from me, but praise God, you do it. Do what God calls you to do with it. But it was weigh your weight. And weigh your weight was not necessarily your body weight. What is the weight that is preventing you from doing whatever it is that God is calling you to do? And so for me, it was, you know, praise God, did I really love myself? Did I really care enough about me to take the time to make a plan, to do an exercise plan, or to even go to God and ask the Lord, I really just don't know what to do. Can you help me? Can you show me what I need to do so that I can be true to this weight loss, or I can be true to scripture memory, or I can be true to just praying for 2 minutes? Praise God. We all need to ask God to show us what we need to do and how we need to do it and not be afraid to attempt it, even if we don't think that we can do it, praise God, because he didn't give us the spirit of fear. And then, praise God, last but not least, is forgive yourself. Sometimes we don't forgive ourselves enough. We remember and we process, and we know the enemy wants us to remember. And so he's going to constantly have things come up in your life. Commercials will come on TV that remind you this is what you did or didn't do. You know, people will come in your life and say, girl, you remember when you used to? So you got to find other ways and other measures to counteract that stuff. And so one of the things that you can do, like I said, with your paper and your pencil, is to write down comebacks. Me and my sister used to practice. Let's role play what I'm going to say. And amen, that helps so much because, again, going back to scripture that we read, a man of understanding acquires wise counsel. So, okay, that helps me and her come to a better understanding of what we're going to say when this situation comes again. You know, her situation was, praise God, she was a daycare provider, and the people weren't paying. And so, you know, she had a problem because, you know, she just didn't have the heart to tell people you can't bring your child anymore. And so that means they're not going to be able to work. But it was, you interfering with my bills. I can't pay my bills. And so she just went in the basement and didn't answer the door. And so they finally got it. And she's like, okay, that probably wasn't the best place. So how could I do it better? And so we walked and had a better communication. And then she was able to put in writing, now, this is a contract. Amen. And so sometimes it's necessary that we talk things through with other people because we don't necessarily always have all the answers. But that's why it's so important that we have a God that looks high and low, and he knows what we need, when we need it, and how we need it, and he'll send the right people. Now, this is the part that I really want to stress to make sure that we really take this away, that we have to stop the negative thinking. Negative thinking leads us to focus on the worst aspects of our lives, and because of that we have poor outcomes. And so sometimes we do it and we don't even realize that we're doing it, but we do it so often we have to stop. And so I'm working on my daughter now because she's like, I'm not gonna pass this test because I don't do well on tests. And I'm like, the devil is a lie. No, ma'am, we're gonna say positive affirmations. And so writing down what God says, praise God, it's always gonna be a plan for you. Now, one of the things that I love, and I think I have read the Bible many times over, but I don't know, what about this scripture really hit home for me, and it really helped me understand in order for me to make the necessary changes that I had to be willing to be open. But this scripture is 2 Timothy 3, 16-17. Many of you probably heard it before, but I'm going to stress why it's so important. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. That's it, every good work. So that's tying my shoes, that's teaching my children, that's doing the work for the man, that's anything, every good work. And so why is it important that this scripture was important for me? One, because, amen, I love to be taught. Praise God, I love to teach. But who likes reproof and correction? Not many people. My girlfriend reproved and corrected me yesterday. And so it kind of hurt my feelings a little bit, but I had to listen because, praise God, that wasn't just her. That was God. It was for the correction, and it was training for me so that I can operate in righteousness, so that I can be equipped for every good work. What good work? Writing my book, whatever it is that God has for me. He wants me to be adequate. He wants us all to be adequate. So when people reproof you and people give you correction, don't frown up at it. I'll learn my new word, gaslight people and deflect and throw it back at them. If they're giving you some correction and you know they love you, are you kidding me? Why would somebody love you, try to put you down or make you feel bad? They're doing that because they see something. Same girlfriend told me this story, and I asked her to share the story on the broadcast because she said that wasn't her assignment. But anyway, her story was that it was a little skit or something, and so the parents told the kids, we're going to go to the movies, but we're going to go ahead of y'all. I think I'm telling this right. And so they went ahead, and they said, you guys can come behind us. And while they went, they saw that there was a lot of construction, so they had to go around these places to get around the construction. And then there was an easier way that they could cut through, and so they were able to cut through this way. And so when they called back and told the kids to come, they were able to say, okay, now there's going to be a roadblock here because there's got some construction here, and then it'll be easier for you to get through this little pathway because, you know, it's a shortcut. And how that was an example to teach, that's how God does us. That's how we do our children. It's a teachable approach that whoever is gone before you, they know the pitfalls. They know the construction. They know that there's stoplights that are broken. They know if there's thunder and lightning, there's a major storm ahead. So you got to go the same way because you're going to the same place. And so if I have somebody that loves me and I trust, if they tell me, Leah, don't come this way, you know, go around, you know, and go such and such street, you know, and take the highway or don't take the highway, I should listen because they're not telling me that because they want me to sit in traffic or they want me to get harmed or be in danger. Sometimes we take reproof and correction as torches to get on, to just to kill my joy. No. The Bible said it's for training in righteousness so that we all can be adequate and equipped for a good work. We have to listen to what the things that the correction that God lays before us so that we can be wise in his word. And then he tells us that we should keep ourselves encouraged. And so we got to stop the negative talk. We got to stop the negative dialogues that we're having with ourselves. And like I said, it's important that you go to your dictionary, to your library or your Google, and find out what are the areas that I'm struggling in and write those down. And then write down what scripture combats that. And so I'm sure you'll find a whole bunch of them. But you highlight the ones that are most important to you. And then you make those confessions. And like I said, you can say them in your mind. And many times we pray inside our heads. And that dialogue is awesome. But I kid you not, the enemy is going to throw a distraction. The phone's going to ring. The TV, a good show is going to come on. Something's going to be distracting. And if you don't confess with your mouth, you will be distracted. And why? Because the enemy wants you to have limited thinking. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to have challenges with your relationships, because how else can you fix or mend a relationship if you don't understand what broke it down in the first place? And that's why it's important for us to go to the word to find out, what did I do? What could I have done? And why effective listening skills are important. Many times we're doing all this talking, and I wanted to do an exercise, but we're out of time. But I suggest that you do this exercise, you know, with just people in your house. It don't even have to be children. It could be anybody. You know, you just say a sentence and then have them dictate what you said and see if it's accurate to what you said. You know, just say it in a normal tone and see if that's the actual thing that you've actually said. And then do it so that you have an opportunity to do it so you can both to see how effective you're doing. Because many times, like I said, because of that scripture, we're not willing to be reproofed. We're not really, really open to correction. And so when that happens, then we're defensive. And so I'm not listening nowhere, because who are you to tell? Because now I'm having mental dialogue. I'm just not saying it because, you know, amen. I may use a couple words that, you know, you ain't used to me saying, but how dare you tell me what I said? So I'm not listening to what's being said. So I'm getting did that, and then I'm running with it. Well, you know, who does she think she is telling me that I should touch such and such and such, and miss the whole point of the conversation, miss the whole point of the dialogue. We have to be more effective in our listening. We have to be more effective in being open to when open rebuke is necessary. It's necessary for us to be the people that God has called us to be, because none of us are perfect. We're all striving to be like Jesus. We can't be Jesus, but we're striving to live the life that he led without sin. It's hard, and he knows it's hard, and that's why he provided, you know, repentance and for a way for us to forgive. But if we're not teachable and we're not open and we don't first do it with ourselves, forgive ourselves, have that dialogue with yourself, do self-talk, positive self-talk. You know, I have a problem listening, and so I'm going to work on listening. So I'm going to get my piece of paper and my pencil, and I'm going to work on me. I'm going to do my learning. I'm going to do what the word says, that how I'm supposed to encourage my own learning for my growth. Remember, Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will increase in learning. How else can I do better unless I do better? I can't do better if I don't know better. I got to know how to do. And so challenge yourself to do what is right. Not necessarily because it's a new year and we're making all these New Year's resolutions. No, just follow the word and increase in your learning, and then ask God to give you wise counsel so that you can have a better understanding. And then I promise you, things will change, because it has to. If you change, other things will change around you, because it doesn't affect you anymore. There was a time I had all these expectations, and God allowed me to be sick for a whole year. Amen. In a couple of weeks, it will be a year that I have been struggling with COVID and cancer and all the other strokes and blood bleeds, and didn't understand. Lord, I don't understand. What are you telling me? And it's like, I need for you to increase in your learning. You think you know just because you got all these degrees. That ain't enough. That's for man. That ain't for me. That's for you to use to get keys to go on into doors. But I need for you to come to another level. And I had to understand that. And so I'm like, okay, well, Lord, then you've got to show me. Send me some wise counsel so that I can be equipped to do what you've called me to do, because I want to be what you've called me to be, and I want to accomplish all the things that you've accomplished. And even with all the crazy degrees that I have, and I shouldn't call them crazy, but they mean nothing. At the end of the day, if I haven't done what God has called me to do, nothing. And I want to be right. And so sometimes when we ask God to help us, we don't know the way he's going to help us. And so if I had known last year when I said, okay, Lord, stretch my ministry, I would have never imagined that he would have done it that way. But it did, because I don't have the expectations that I used to have anymore. My expectations are from him and him alone. And I'm open to understanding. I'm not so whatever that I don't need to increase in learning. I realize that I have humbled myself to really receive the things of God and really do what God has called me to do, and to understand that now it's life and death. Because, praise God, I could have stroked out. I mean, you know, I had a stroke. And so God has given me an opportunity to do some things over. And so I want to be the wise woman that God called me to be. And I want to always increase in learning. And then whoever has to give me the counsel, amen, I'm looking for God to give me the wise counsel, because he will, because I'm ready to be a student now. And he's going to send a teacher. And so my challenge to each of you on tonight is to make sure that you're open to receive what God has for you, and to die down to those crazy voices that are in your head that are not God. Because God wants us all to prosper and to be in good health. He has a plan for all of us. That's Jeremiah 29:11. He has a plan and purpose for all of us. And in order for us to meet that goal, we have to be obedient to him. Amen. Well, I could keep talking, because you know I'm never out of talk, but I am out of time, and so we have to close. But I always close the broadcast with my green favorite song, because every praise belongs to him. And praise God, she is 95. Can you believe that? Amen. And we gave, you know, all that praise to Betty White, because, you know, praise God, I love the Golden Girls, and so I love Betty White. But praise God, all of us are going to meet our maker, and are we going to be able to step to God and say, or him to say, well done, faithful servant? Or are we, praise God, are we slipping and sliding and trying to explain? I don't want that to be my story. I want to say every praise belongs to you, God, because you let me in. Amen. And I'm going to see my granny and all the people that, praise God, been praying for me and helping me get here too. Amen. I mean, I know their faces, but praise God, we all want to be on the right side at the end of the day. And so let all your praises belong to God. And then remember to tune in next week. We will have another inspiring word. So this is Leah Killing, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me. Amen. With Empower to Change, Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. Make sure that you always, always, always start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and then end your day with prayer. God bless you, and have a wonderful, wonderful week. Happy New Year. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. Praise.